All this week, we're talking about student debt. It's a problem that economist Mohamed El-Erian told us last week could be nearing a point of no return.
There tends to be tipping points. The first tipping point is when the cost of education becomes higher than the return on education. And while we're not there yet, we're getting closer.
Well, today we want to hear from students. Joelle Stangler is a senior at the University of Minnesota. She'll graduate at the end of this academic year with about $30,000 in student debt. Joelle, welcome.
Thank you.
And Kristen Bastian is with us. She graduated from the College of Charleston in 2009 with about $26,500 in debt, which she later defaulted on, and she has since entered an income-based repayment plan. Kristen, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Kristen, we got to start with that. Tell us your story. How did that happen?
So when I graduated from the College of Charleston in 2009, it was at the height of the recession. So there were no jobs. It made my final year of college really interesting, learning about mortgage finance and such. But getting out was a different story. I was excited to graduate because I was a first-generation college graduate, but there was nothing on the horizon, nothing really out there for me. So I was waiting tables and didn't really pay attention to my student loans at all, brushed them under the rug and pretended they didn't exist. And about a year later, they followed me, contacted me, and let me know they were in default and that there were more severe repercussions to come if I didn't address them at that point.
And when you took out those loans, did you ever think that something like this might happen, or did you think it was going to be easy to pay them off?
I don't think I even thought about what was going to happen to me later. I wasn't focused on that when I started college. I was just excited to begin that journey and took out loans and didn't really think about how I was going to repay them or what repayment was going to look like. I wasn't very financially responsible, wasn't really taught that.
Did cost figure in at all to when you were thinking about where to go to college or whether to go to college? Did you think about cost or did you think, I'll deal with that later?
To the extent of staying in state, that was about it. Other than that, no, cost had no bearing on my going to college at all.
And Joelle, what about you? Did cost figure in when you started this process?
Absolutely. Cost was the primary driver in deciding where I wanted to go to school. I was looking at schools outside of the state as well as on the East Coast and knew that even applying to them was, in essence, a pipe dream because I wasn't going to be able to afford it. I could hardly afford our in-state public university.
In fact, you had to take out some $30,000 in loans in order to go to the University of Minnesota. Does that seem daunting to you, or how do you plan to pay that off?
It's something I think about pretty frequently. I think what feels the most daunting is when you look at career prospects, you have to be only looking at jobs that could allow you to repay your loans in a timely fashion, as well as a job that allows you to have supplemental income for things like living and food. And so what's daunting is that there are a number of career opportunities, particularly in the public sector, that I won't be able to pursue because I have this large amount of debt, which is really concerning because I would like to do that. And I think I would like to give back. But I know that even as someone who came from two educators, both my parents are educators, I knew I wasn't going to be able to go into education because it wouldn't be able to pay off my student debt.
You're going to have to think now more about how you're going to make money than basically what you want to do.
Exactly.
Well, what are you going to do? How long do you think it will take you to pay off these $30,000 in loans?
That's a great question. I think it's important to note that there are forgiveness plans and there are public service loan forgiveness plans and income-based repayment plans. But even with those, I would imagine that I'll be paying off my loans for 15, if not 20 years. And that doesn't even count going back to grad school, which I would love to do at some point.
And would you ever default on those loans?
I don't think so. I think I'm fortunate enough to be in a position where I'm educated about income-based repayment. The University of Minnesota does an excellent job of financial literacy education, but not every student is so lucky, particularly those outside of Minnesota. And even then, I think that the programs can be very complicated and confusing. So I will be lucky to probably be able to, but I don't think everybody would.
Well, Kristen, let's jump back to you and where you left off in your story. What happened? How did you manage to get into a situation where you could start paying back all of that student debt?
I was hired at the agency I work for now. It is a nonprofit, and I was making income. It wasn't substantial, but I was earning wages, and my human resources manager came to me and let me know that I needed to do something or else my paychecks would be garnished. So I got on what's called a rehabilitation program, where you make 9 payments in a 10-month period, and they will bring those loans back into a current status and take away all of the default that was reported on the credit report at a steep price monthly. But I did end up graduating that program and qualify for benefits such as income-based repayments, deferments, forbearances, and those types of things.
And how much do you have to pay per month?
Back then, I was at $245 a month, and I was also a single mom at the time, making about $29,000 a year, so it was rough.
And you had that baby in 2008, the year before you graduated. How did that change your outlook?
It made it to where my priorities were refocused. I did have to take a semester off of school, and I did go back and finally graduate, but my focus was on feeding, you know, my family and making sure there was a roof over our head. So debt wasn't a priority at that time. And there were other things that were sliding, credit cards and so forth. So it wasn't just my student loans. And I was working at a financial counseling center, and I realized the importance of, you know, credit and getting them back into good status. And so I just fought it and dealt with it and made it happen.
Well, and in fact, you have become a financial education manager. You've decided to spend your life giving other people advice about this.
Yes, I have. And we're actually beginning a student loan counseling program at our agency, Family Services, that we're actually rolling out this month. So because we know, you know, from my background and my history, that there are a lot of people out there that are facing the complex repayment options and don't know what to do about it and just ignore it. I mean, there are 8 million borrowers in default right now. And so we want to help those before this problem becomes the next, you know, huge financial crisis again.
Joelle, do you think that you're going to put off any major life decisions like buying a house or getting married or having a kid as a result of the debt that you have?
Absolutely. I know that in terms of buying a house, that probably won't be a reality for 10, maybe 15 years. I'll probably rent in the meantime. And in terms of furthering my education, I won't be going back to grad school until I know that it's something that I'd be able to afford, because the student debt would just be too much of a burden to bear.
But you think that you will eventually go back to grad school?
I hope so. I think there are opportunities to do that, but I think right now it's something that I can't even put on the radar because of my existing debt and what additional debt would do.
Who do you blame for this situation, Joelle?
That's a very loaded and dangerous question. I think I, at this point, believe very strongly that coming from a public school, a public land-grant university, I think states have shirked their duty in funding higher education. The University of Minnesota used to receive 8% of the total budget, and now all of higher education in the state, including our state school system and our Office of Higher Education, receives about 8%. So you're seeing a huge, huge decrease in what the state is willing to bear in terms of funding higher education. And so that's who I would blame in this particular circumstance, but I think that the issue is multifaceted and comes from a lot of different problems.
Kristen, what about you? Who do you blame for this situation?
I mean, I agree with Joelle with the states and not putting, you know, enough funding into the school higher education. But I think it's also a financial literacy problem, period. So many students and borrowers are just uninformed about all of the options in the whole process. And I think education and informing everybody is first way to combat it.
Well, what would be the one piece of advice that you would give if there's somebody listening to this right now who hasn't even started this process yet, who's in high school, who's preparing to go to college? What would you tell them, Kristen?
Know your options. Talk to people who understand the complexities. Talk to financial aid counselors, certified credit counselors, and know all of the options out there when it comes to funding college, grant scholarships, and then not ignoring it afterwards and just knowing that there are things that you can do to, you know, not get into default, not get into trouble beforehand.
Joelle, what would your advice be?
I would tell them to get on the phone with their elected officials and tell them that they need to start investing properly in our largest economic driver. I would tell them to tell their parents to get on the phone and talk about the fact that currently at state institutions, particularly University of Minnesota, 25% of the budget is funded by tuition, 17-ish percent of the budget is funded by the state. And that seems like it's the wrong breakdown, and that the only way to really impact that is to start making it an electoral consequence to not be funding higher education.
That's Joelle Stangler, a senior at the University of Minnesota. She'll graduate at the end of this academic year with about $30,000 in student debt. And Kristen Bastian has also been speaking with us. She's a graduate of the College of Charleston, graduated in 2009 with about $26,500 in debt. She later defaulted on that and then entered a repayment plan and is now counseling other people about how to deal with this massive student debt burden. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.